Back to My Garden, episode 83.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
What's the hottest trend in gardening? I think the hottest trend is aquaponics. Can you really grow a massive garden powered by fish? Find out more and discover the secrets to building fish-powered gardens at www.backtomygarden.com/fish. It's finally here. 99 remarkably clever gardening ideas that you can use immediately. It's a free report. You get instant access. It's an epic list of tips, hacks, and gardening shortcuts for you. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/clever. Hey folks, it's Dave. Just a preamble before we do the podcast. On New Year's Day, I was on Skype with Joey Baird. He and his wife Holly run a website called the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and they have an incredible YouTube channel. And Joey and I were brainstorming 2015, and I said, hey, let's do a podcast. So there's no real introduction like there normally is, but make sure you go visit Holly and Joey on the web. He's got a ton of new projects coming up. This is a phenomenal podcast, tons of great information, and it's the first one of 2015. So here you go. I hope you like it. Thanks to Joey and Holly Baird. Joey and I got a ton to talk about, and I want to go all the way over to Wisconsin. Joey, you're there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Almost good evening.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Got listeners listening in from all over the world, and I'm really excited to talk to you, not just about gardening, but the business of new media, because you and Holly have so much going on. Let's start, because we have people driving. I'll remind them that don't try to take notes when you're driving. I'll put all the links, resources, and books and all the good stuff Joey shares up on the blog at Back to My Garden. Joey, let's start with, how about we start with your YouTube channel? Because you and Holly have been doing videos now for some time. Let's make sure our listeners head over to YouTube and subscribe. What's the best way to find your videos?
Best way to find our videos is just go to our website, which is thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, long word, but then you can see all of our social media sites on the right-hand side. You can click on all of them and follow us through all of the sites that we have available. You can also go to YouTube and just search The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener, and that will also bring up our over 400 videos that you can view with a number of great topics that will help you be a better gardener, as well as a better canner.
Yeah, that's Holly. I had Holly on the show months ago. She has a really strong background or education in canning, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. Whenever we met 7 years ago, she had never canned anything, and now she's taking classes. She's an award-winning Wisconsin State Fair canner, as well as she helps people can the right way with questions that come through our website and our social media sites, because everybody thinks they can just can anything they want, which, based on the acidity level, there's a right and a wrong, and sometimes a no, you can't can that answer to it. And some people want to follow the correct methods of canning, and others say, well, thanks, but I'm going to do it anyway and take their health at their own risk.
Mm. We have a lot of married couples listening, so this is a good one for the fellas, because my only experience with canning was the eating side. But last year, I really got active, started to help, you know, the peeling, the prep. And you really get a perspective of how much work goes into making, you know, 30 or 40 jars of tomato sauce.
Absolutely. If you have people in your life, friends, relatives, that want to get into canning or just are curious, bring them over when it's time to can, because you've got an extra set of hands that know how to peel and how to cut. And even if they get nothing more out of it, you can give them a few jars of whatever the item you're making as a thank you, and they can appreciate more of, one, the healthiness of the product that you're producing, and two, they were able to help you speed up the process of making that tomatoes or peaches or pears or whatever you're canning.
I always find it interesting with people who do canning, because everyone talks about filling the freezer. I don't know where it is where everybody lives listening to this, but we get a lot of power failures. And there's nothing more frightening than getting, you know, an 8 or 9 hour power failure or longer when you've got a fridge or a freezer just chock full. Canning kind of eliminates that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. When you can, you're ready to eat. It may be cold if you don't want, you know, tomato sauce is cold and you can't heat it up, but it is a ready to eat item. Like the preppers say, it's ready to go. So you just pop the lid off and you can consume it, even though it may be cold. If you have a barbecue grill, you could put it in a pan and heat it up with, but it's safe to eat as soon as you open the jar up.
I wanted to ask you, who started gardening first, you or Holly?
I believe we both kind of universally decided that was something we wanted to do. Holly grew up gardening in Milwaukee. I grew up gardening on a large agricultural farm in southern Illinois. So we both had backgrounds, but very different backgrounds, with her being in a very small urban setting and me as a farm lands very prevalent. So when we met, and we've lived in a couple of apartments throughout the years, we would have a pepper plant or a tomato plant in a container on a balcony. When we were doing our other jobs, when we were able to move to Milwaukee, where Holly's now, well, originally from, she was speaking to her mom about how I like to garden and how I came from a big gardening family. And her mom said, well, I'm tired of cutting grass in the backyard. You can dig that up as long as you follow the laws within the city, which was a 3-foot perimeter around the property line. So we turned her backyard into almost 1,800 square feet of growing space, traditional ground.
For those of you listening who are container gardens, maybe you got a couple of pots on your balcony in a big city, don't get intimidated by 1,800 square feet. That's bigger than a lot of urban apartments, I think.
Right. And you, I mean, when container gardening, you can do it in a traditional container, or you can also take a milk crate and modify a milk crate and grow a variety of different items in the milk crate through the holes in the side as well as the top. That we have done that as well. And that's what we do in our videos. Even though we have the ground space to grow in, we want to show that there's a variety of different ways that you can grow. You just don't have, it's not just a one type of gardening situation and that's it. You can container garden, indoor grow, as well as traditional ground garden.
This is what I find so inspiring about you guys, is you started with a little blog and YouTube. And I think you've got 500,000 views now or more.
Yeah. Yeah, 500,000 views on YouTube alone, and that's just fascinating to us because we don't have an abundance of followers. I mean, we've got almost 4,000 subscribers. We don't have 30 or 50 or 80,000 subscribers like some of these gardening programs have, but our followers are very dedicated to us and support us with their comments and their suggestions and even sometimes their instructive criticism about, hey, you've done this wrong, and that's what we like. We like to see what we may have done, because you can film something 100 times and do it 100 different ways. When somebody else looks at it and goes, hey, you should have done X, Y, and Z instead of 1, 2, and 3. And that's what we like. We like that interaction with the followers. And we've got a lot of response back saying, thank you for showing me this. I didn't know it was possible. I've done it. And now I'm successful at doing that as well.
I want to encourage the listeners, if you've got a tiny little dream about getting into blogging or YouTubing, you got to go check out Holly and the whole Wisconsin vegetable gardening empire. You guys never studied acting or film production, did you?
Not at all. Holly has a degree in graphic arts, and I was a farm kid, so we have no education in how to perform in front of a camera or how to speak in front of a microphone. This is all self-taught, and we both watched enough TV, listened to enough radio to know what to do and what not to do to capture an audience attention, at least for a short period of time.
Yeah, I noticed your videos are like one idea, one video, and they're punchy and short.
Right, and on YouTube, you have the right, you can say whatever you want, you can mingle and talk about whatever, but we understand people are very busy, so we want to, if the title says planting onions, we want that video to be right here. Here's how you plant onions, here's what you need to look for, and here's how you need to do it. And that other stuff is fine for other gardeners, but we understand that when you're busy, you want to learn something, we want to teach you, and then you can take it and show somebody else how to do it.
Now, I don't want to lose any of the gardeners out there who are non-techies, but I have to ask Joey because I got him here. For those of us making little YouTube videos, we're so far behind you guys. Do you have like one or two tips for the beginner out there?
A couple of tips is when we very first started doing this, we made a rule that we try to avoid at most saying and repetitively. Like a lot of people, when they get nervous, you'll say and we try very hard to avoid that because people pick up on that and people get, I get annoyed when I hear people say that repetitively. And two, if you put a video out, do your research on that particular topic. Just don't go off of what grandma said or mom said, because things have changed and people are wanting to look for information. They may only watch one video of yours their entire life. So you want to present them with an information that is relative and that is practical and that can answer the questions that they're searching for.
I don't know if you heard that. A big ding went off in my head, and you said it already. So your viewers, they leave you questions. And so the next set of videos comes from the input of the people who already like your show.
Right. They'll come from for the next series of that particular, if we're talking about onions and somebody has given a tip or a suggestion or a correction on what we have done, when we revisit that topic about the progress of the onions, we will throw that in and say something to the matter of, when we talked about this last, we informed you of XYZ when we should have told you about MNOP and try and correct and bring up on the mistake that we made. And that seems to be very personal with people that we're not a TV stars. We're not TV stars. We don't have a 30-minute show and you never see a mistake and everything's perfect and everything's wonderful. You plant a tomato, you get 400 pounds of tomatoes, and the world is great. We show that we're regular backyard gardeners, and problems do happen, and they will happen, and we try to walk through those problems and help the viewer go, hey, that's what's going on in my garden. Let me try what they're doing and look at the resources they provided so maybe I can salvage some of my produce.
Now, you said viewer. It gave us a perfect segue because a lot of people listening to us talk right now are driving in their cars or jogging or however they consume the audio, but it's this podcasting phenomenon. I understand you and Holly are hard at work getting ready to launch your brand new podcast.
Yes, we are. It's going to launch March through October, biweekly, about a 45-minute show with a lot of content mimicking what you may hear on a talk radio program. The content, a little break, some more content. We always will have a guest for a short period of time, as well as those who are listening can send their questions in and we will answer them the best we can, whether it's through resources or from our own personal experiences. And this is another way to interact with the listener or the viewer from our YouTube videos and our social media sites to hear more information on how they can be a better gardener.
Fantastic. So those of you who love Back to My Garden and all our listeners around the world, you can never get too many gardening podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. I guess, how's the best way to get into kind of the waiting list?
The best way to get everything that we do is go to the website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com, and there's a green button that says First to Know, and you can sign up for our weekly emails. We send one email a week with all the content that we've done, our videos and our audio information, and then you can open that up at your leisure and view and listen to everything that we've done in the past week. We send one a week. We feel that's adequate for the information we're providing.
You know, I get to talk to so many awesome gardeners like yourself, and I say, you know, when you get with friends and family, are you like the resident expert, and do you get bombarded with questions? What's it like when you get around people who, do they look at you like the expert gardener?
I went back home to Southern Illinois this past summer, and these are people I went to school with, I hung out with. They all knew that we had videos on YouTube, we had a website. We went to a graduation party, and they said, "Hey," went to a wedding. That's what it was. And one of the people at the reception said, "Hey, can you come over and look in my garden? I don't know what's going on here." So then I had to go over and be the okay. I got to examine and figure out what's going on with this. And I believe it was a soil issue with some bugs that was killing off the cucumbers. But yeah, people would ask, "Hey, I've got this," or "I've got this fruit tree," and people come to us And we have learned in our experience, sometimes the best answer is, hey, I don't know, but give me a week and I can get you an answer.
For those of you who are doctors in your own communities, doctors of gardening, look at Joey and Holly like a resource so you can actually send in questions and get them answered on the show. That's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, that, and there's no worse thing that we've ever experienced than asking a question to somebody and they, you can see in their head they're making up an answer just to make you feel good. And the best answer is just say, hey, I don't know, but I can get you some information that will help you with your issue.
Now, depending when the listeners listen to this, this is the wonderful thing. It's like a time capsule. For me and Joey, it's winter time. So we're, you know, for our Australian listeners, I know it's summertime, but it's really winter where we live. Do you got anything going on under the lights this winter?
Inside, under the grill lights, we've got kale, carrots. The potatoes are doing phenomenal. We've got lettuce, leaf lettuce growing in a hydroponic system running strictly off Muputi. The tomatoes and green beans, there's a little issue there that I'm still trying to figure out. And the Swiss chard and kohlrabi are also looking very well as well. And that's all under the grill lights in our indoor growing corner, I guess you'd call it.
Muputi, should we do a shout-out to Annie Haven?
Yeah. Phenomenal stuff. Whenever you grow indoors, there's a certain number of non-organic chemicals that you can purchase to run through your coco core and your hydroponic system. And we decided that we didn't want to do that anymore, and we were going to run it strictly off Muputi, and the results show for themselves with the lettuce that's growing out of the hydroponic system. Now, and there's some issues with the green beans and tomatoes, but I think I've resolved that, the green beans are older seeds, and the tomatoes went through a shock. So that has no bad saying about the Muputi. That's on my end, not her end.
This is it, right? The experiment reveals the process, and you can only get better and learn more by experimenting more.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'll put a link to Annie's Muputi in the show notes at Back to My Garden. She's my soil professor. She knows so much about feeding and enriching the soil, and I'm still at that amateur stage, so I just can't say enough good things about her.
Oh, a phenomenal knowledge-based woman she is. She's got an answer to almost any question or a resource that she can send to you.
We've got two sets of lights on our old pool table, and it was fascinating. One of them is much weaker than the other, the lights. It's the intensity or the wave. I mean, they're different bulbs, different setups, but seeing the difference in how the seedlings respond to different lights, you can't take anything for granted.
Right. There's cool lights and there's hot lights and there's different waves and intensity of lights. And if you're going to invest in a lot of bulbs and lights and indoor growing systems, you want to do your research, because you can purchase the wrong lights for the wrong situation. And there's a number of wonderful resources out there that can help with that. You just don't want to go purchase any type of light and put a plant underneath it, because the end result may not be what you're hoping for.
Do you have a timer set up? I got mine finally going.
The timer is for, we're running right now 10 hours, we're running 12 and 12, and now we're 10 and 14. 14 on and 10 off.
Wow.
And we're just playing with it to see how the plants react to the lights.
Very good. That's fascinating. I mean, it's... you know, the hobby is turned into an obsession when you're going 365 days a year.
Yeah, but it's also a very therapeutical peace of mind. Hectic day or it's cold outside, I can come in and sit beside our indoor garden and play with the plants and look at them, and it makes life a whole lot more enjoyable.
Ooh, I got you now. I'm going to ask you a question. So, for a tip, this is my first season doing tomatoes in the middle of winter under the lights. Do you have any ideas or suggestions for pollinating them?
Once or twice a day, once the flowers bloom out, just go by and tap the stem, shake the plant a little bit, and the natural breeze of you walking by will grab the pollen and mix it around with the other plants, other tomato plants that are blossoming. So just tap the stem and agitate the pollen that are in the flowers.
For those of you listening, you got to remember the bees do a lot of that heavy lifting for us. And if you don't have them, we take them for granted, the pollinators.
Yeah. And We need to plant more flowers in our garden, and that's what we're going to dedicate a little section this coming year to, strictly a flower garden, because of the help the bees out. We're losing them at an incredible rate, and different sources based on what political background they're trying to impress will say it's through GMOs or non-GMOs and natural climate change. So we've got to help them out any way we can.
One of the last things we did before we put our raised garden beds to sleep for the season is I piled some leaf compost ridiculously high on top of them, mostly because I had too much mulch, too much compost.
Oh.
They were like big rounded mounds, and Valia said, that's too much. And lo and behold, here we are 4 months through the winter, and those have just collapsed right down to level in the raised bed. I couldn't have done it better if I knew what I was doing.
We love using leaves in the fall. We've got great compost that we have with one of our sponsors in the spring, but we utilize every leaf that we can find on the property. With our traditional ground garden, we've turned it into a raised berm garden, which simply means is we've got distinct areas where we grow and distinct walk paths, so we never compact the soil. There's no boards. It's just we've got it slightly raised up because of the organic material that we've been adding. So this past year, we've seen what areas need a lot of help in feeding the soil. So those areas we covered with leaves, and we took every leaf off the property. We went in the street and vacuumed up as many leaves as we could without, you know, confusing the neighbors of what we were doing. And then in the spring, we'll extract those leaves off those beds, work the soil, bring some more leaves in, and incorporate more leaves throughout the summer months that we've had stockpiled to keep enriching the soil, because the leaves are so full of nutrients, because the trees bring all those nutrients up from the depths of the earth. And as those break down, that's some of the best compost and additives you can ever put in your garden.
Fantastic. Good tips. Let's take a minute to thank our sponsors and then come back and play 5 quick questions. Attention, garden lovers. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from passionate gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Are you concerned about toxic chemicals, GMOs, and frankenfood? Don't panic. Grow organic. Discover my new resource for organic gardening. Go to www.backtomygarden.com/myorganic. Speaking of good tips, it's the time in the show where we play a game called 5 Quick Questions.
All right.
This is your chance to share your wisdom and experience with novice rookie gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Let's go.
And I've changed these up since Holly was on the show. So question number one is a fun one. What's the biggest gardening mistake or the funniest gardening mistake that you've ever made that you're willing to admit to in public?
Biggest gardening mistake we've ever made. I think it's just like every new gardener. We tried to, one, plant plants in places that they weren't intended for. We tried to put full sun plants in shade areas and partial shade plants in sunny areas, because we were very uneducated about that when we began gardening earlier in the our urban garden. Now back home, we just always kind of planted the same thing in the same area type of mindset. But yeah, putting the wrong plant in the wrong area, I think, is now that we look back, is a very hilarious thing, because we now know so many things of what we shouldn't have done that we did.
I guess it all makes good podcast and video episodes of, you know, mistakes make great learning opportunities.
That's right, yeah. And there's people that watch it going, no, don't do it. And there's people that's never seen it before going, well, that makes sense, until we revisit that and go, we did this totally backwards, and here's what you should have done or what we needed to do.
Question number two, what's the best gardening advice that you've ever received?
You will kill plants. You're not a good gardener until you've killed about 1,000 plants. So if you've got people who are listening that are thinking, hey, I want to get into gardening, do not be disappointed when you start seeing plants die off, because it's going to happen, whether it be because soil, you haven't fed your soil correctly, because the soil is the key to everything that you do in your garden. 90% of the time needs to be spent on soil preparation, whether that be sending soil test off or checking your pH or making sure you have a good balanced soil. That's you're going to kill plants. And you've had on your show Dave, Joe Lample, you've had Sean O'Connor, you've had the biggest names in gardening, and they will admit that they kill plants every year. It's going to happen no matter how good of a gardener you are.
Yeah, I remember weeding and feeling like, oh, don't pull those out. You're wasting carrots, and it's just. But then when you get into composting, oh, my goodness, isn't that remarkable when you realize how much food you waste in the kitchen?
Oh, yeah. It's incredible how much that when you start composting, how much you really were throwing out. And then you understand that it's food and you're wasting food or throwing food out, but you understand it's going back into the earth into a very positive death, I guess, and re-inducing it into your garden where you're going to reap the benefits of that which you were throwing out. And not everything can be composted. There's certain things you can and can't compost, but in sense that what you're throwing out is really going to be brought back in through new produce.
Nice. Question three has to do with resources and websites. So we're going to have a link up to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener and all your properties. Do you have any favorite bloggers in the gardening world that you read, or any websites that you can reference as a resource?
One of the great websites that I like to go to, and it's more for the common vegetables that you grow in your garden, is bonnieplants.com. They have a variety of, a lot of different varieties of tomatoes, peppers, leeks, and it's basically here's what the plant is, here's how you should grow it, and the basic operations of that plant throughout the year. For the very new gardener, bonnieplants.com is a great website to go to, as well as your local extension office website based on the state that you're in. They have a lot of tried and true methods that they can help you with. If you have an infestation of an insect, maybe you're in Nebraska, that university will probably know how to react to that better than if you're searching in North Carolina for the same problem. So each university extension is more dedicated to the specific location that you're in. I know I'm speaking about the United States. We've got listeners all over the world, but that's one that I like to go to as well.
Fantastic. Did you say leeks?
Leeks, yes.
Do you grow leeks?
We have a phenomenal harvest of leeks each year, and for whatever reason, each year it gets better and better. We had a number of them that we harvested. They were the size of broom handles, and Holly showed in a video on how to preserve them by freezing them, and now we use them for soups and stews and broths.
Nice.
Phenomenal plant. I think it's one of the plants that many gardeners never think about growing that is really one of the easiest things you can grow.
Yeah, it's almost like, especially with edibles, it's like a giant bullseye. And there's the tried and true favorites in the middle. And then these outer circles, like leeks and fennel and things that just, they're so good in soups and stews.
Right. Jerusalem artichokes is now becoming a big one. We've grown them for several years now, and there's so many things you can do with Jerusalem artichokes and it's good for you. They're good for diabetics. They're less starchy. A wonderful tuber that is a perennial.
Mm. Nice. Oh, yeah, and then you start getting into, like, rutabagas and parsnips. And it's good to mix it up. So bonnieplants.com, good source for some variety.
Yes.
Question four is, I love to bring people back to good gardening books. Do you have any favorite gardening books?
Two of them. The Crockett's Victory Garden. This is a book that was published in probably the 70s when one of the original Victory Garden hosts, local. Victory Garden is a program that's on public television in the United States. It's not as great as it once was, but this book, I'll provide a link to it to you, Dave. This has a lot of very valuable information, yet the growing zones have changed over the years. The information is still very, very valuable. And then another one that if you are in an area where you're forbidden to dig up the ground or you don't want to dig up the ground, The Straw Bale Gardens by Joel Carson is a great book. It was published about 2 years ago, and he goes through the steps from how to acquire straw bales to prepping them to growing a phenomenal garden elevated in square bales. Square bales or straw is the byproduct of wheat, or it can be of sugar cane and rice. There's a variety of different types of straws. But it's a great book with a lot of great pictures for the guys and a lot of great words for the women. And it will walk you through how to have a straw bale garden.
Just to comment, podcaster to podcaster, when I look at my Google logs, straw bale gardens is one of the most searched terms that people come to Back to My Garden from. Because I had Joel on one of the early shows. People are really fascinated with this.
Well, it's a very easy, and if you have mobility problems, you don't have to bend down very far. You could put two of these together and have a garden that's 3.5-4 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenal growing source, and if done right, you can sometimes use the bales a couple of years. And then once you're done with them, you can throw them in your compost pile and feed your soil.
You just that's a whole episode for a show, is the growing movement towards the disabled gardening.
Yes.
I had a gentleman from England on the show, Mick Pulteney. It's coming up. He got a grant from the government to build raised garden beds for people in wheelchairs.
And the thing is, with these older generation, these elderly individuals, these are the people that we should be reaching out to, because these are the people that knew how to garden before there was the internet or before there was readily available books that you could put in your home library. These are the people that went through and did all the, oops, I did it wrong, this is how I need to do it now, and learned through the years. And we're losing them, and we're not asking them for the information that they so much had that could benefit us.
Hmm. I know sometimes the guys at Timber Press listen to the show. Guys, that would be an amazing book series, is, you know, preserving that wisdom of that generation.
Yeah, and the technology is there. They can just sit and talk, and it will type the words for them, just to hear the information that they have, and to talk about some of the plants that we no longer have, that we have lost as a generation, that were here 50 or 60 years ago.
That's why Fally just loves heirlooms. Like, they are so grotesque, some of them are so misshapen, but only compared to store-bought tomatoes, because everything is so perfectly enforced nowadays in the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very different. Question five. You got your YouTube video channel booming. You got your blog growing. You got a podcast coming out. What's something that you and Holly are really looking forward to growing next season that maybe you've never tried before or as an experiment?
What we're looking to, we're very excited to grow, is the yacon. It's Y-U-C-O-N, I believe is how you spell it. It is a root tuber that originated from South America. We are working with a nursery out of the Pacific Northwest. They're one of the few in the United States that offer the yacon. I believe they're only going to be able to ship it to the lower 48. But what the yacon is, and there's other sources on the internet that you can find them, it's a root tuber that grows much like the Jerusalem artichoke, if you're familiar with that. But when you dig it up, it looks like sweet potatoes, but you don't have to cook it to eat it. And different individuals have told me that the taste is a cross between a watermelon and a crisp apple. And you can save the rhizomes or the part of the root for year after year, so you can replant them in your garden, because they're not designed to grow this far north. But the reason I found out about the yacon was, there's a gentleman, Rick Larson, who's on YouTube, that grew them very successfully up in central Wisconsin, and it piqued our curiosity. And if it's a plant that is that healthy, we should be growing it and trying to find a way to get other people the opportunity to grow it in their gardens as well.
Man, I don't know about you listeners. I just took some notes. That's gold. Like, nobody has that. That's like, your neighbors will go, what is that?
We saw the boom of the Jerusalem artichokes. I believe we're on the cusp of the boom of the yacon plant within the next 2 to 5 years.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Watermelon crossed with the crisp apple.
That's what I've been told by a number of individuals. So that seems like, I like both of them. So I assume that this will be a very unique and healthy plant to grow.
And for those of you playing the home game, listening along, you get to watch this on YouTube. So follow Joey on YouTube and go to his blog. I'll have all the links up on the site. Follow him on Twitter. You have a very active social media following, don't you?
Yes, we do. We do this all for fun. We both have full-time jobs, and Holly's a full-time student, so we do this all for fun. And sometimes it can be overwhelming, but it's a great reward when we see people respond to the information that we provide and how successful they were able to start gardening and feeding their family.
We're nearly out of time. You've been an amazing guest. The time's flown by. It feels like we just got started, actually. Joey, I'd like to give you the last word to the listeners. You've been so generous sharing your information. Can you leave us with a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement?
I certainly can. If you're starting off, if you're gardening for many years or you're just starting off gardening this year, you want to be able to, one, grow what you enjoy eating. Don't grow an eggplant if you hate eggplant or you've never had an eggplant. If you've got a list of vegetables and fruits that you're wanting to grow, make sure you enjoy eating them. Or if you have something that you may not know if you like, go and try to find that particular item and try it. And then if you like it, plant it. If you don't, compost it and be done with it. But, you know, and then start. The other two things are start with a manageable size garden. We were able to start with 900 square feet and move it to 1,800 square feet because I grew up on an agricultural farm where I knew how to manage the land that I had available. If 4x4, 4x8, plenty of space, can produce a lot of vegetables for a family. Start off small. And thirdly, understand your soil. The soil is the key to everything you do in the garden, whether it's containers or raised beds or traditional ground. Understand the soil. 90% of your time should be spent on soil preparation and making sure the soil has everything it needs, and then spend that 10% of the time left planting and maintaining the plants that you grow.
Wow, wow, wow. What an episode. This is going to be a good one. Joey, thanks so much for being on Back to My Garden.
You're very welcome, Dave. Thanks for having me.